Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
I'm continuing with the study, Resting in Jesus' Life. In the past weeks, I discussed a number of topics. In the first section of the study, I talked about how do you become a Christian. And simply put, we believe and receive Jesus' free gift of eternal life and forgiveness of our sins by His death on a cross and resurrection from the dead. Second topic was, as a Christian, who are we? Colossians 1:27 sums it up, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, the Creator of heaven and earth, comes to live in us. And the third topic was, what kind of life is a Christian called to live? God wants to express their love and works through us as we practice a life of dependence. In the second section, I discussed the opposition a Christian faces. And the first topic was, why does a Christian still have a bent towards wrongdoing? I discussed there's a part of us that drifts towards wrongdoing, which is called by a number of names in the Bible. The flesh, indwelling sin, old man, old sinful nature, to name a few. It's not our true identity anymore, although it's part of us until the day we die. We are truly saints who still have the ability to sin. The only possible way to counter our bent towards evil is to practice resting in Jesus' life. And the second topic in the second section dealt with Satan and demonic forces, our enemies, and how they use the world system to tempt us to move us off of a simple life of trust. And the third topic was, what are the purpose of the trials we experience in everyday life? These trials are used by God to further drive us to dependence, to practice resting in Jesus as our life. And this brings us to the third section of our study, which I'll begin today. And the first topic of the third section is, what does it mean to rest in Jesus' life? In the first two sections of the study, I've described resting in Jesus' life as a life of depending, trusting, believing, a life of childlike faith in the power, loving kindness, and faithfulness of God, and a dependence on God's trustworthy promises. John 15:5 describes this life as the abiding life, which means to continue to remain trusting in Jesus as our life. And Romans 12:1 tells us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice to be used by God. So resting in Jesus' life is practicing a life of full surrender, yielding to God to work through us. Resting in Jesus' life is practicing the Spirit-filled life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Resting in Jesus' life is practicing grace living as we depend on God to do what we can't do ourselves. In summary, it's practicing cooperating with God to work through us. Philippians 2:13 sums up resting in Jesus' life. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. In our baseball analogy, I likened resting in Jesus' life as allowing the God family, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to come alongside of us and swing the bat with us. They just don't want to sit on the bench, but they're player coaches. And it's very rare to have player coaches in baseball. The player coach both coaches and plays in the game. And the God family wants to be up to bat with each of us, with all their children all the time. And this can come as a surprise to us as Christians that the God of creation would want to be involved in every intimate detail of our life. They want us to rest in their power by simple childlike faith. I'm convinced that when we examine who we are in Christ, that God lives in us, and we look at our high calling to love with God's love and to do God's work, and then we examine what we're up against. We're saddled with a bent toward wrongdoing. We have enemies who want to destroy us and a world system controlled by Satan. And then we struggle with the trials and difficulties of life. We have to ask the question, how are we ever going to fulfill God's high calling and His plan in the midst of this overwhelming opposition? I can only see one possible solution. God's going to have to do it. And of course, God needs our cooperation by practicing a life of faith depending on God's power. It's critical that we see that this life of faith that is trusting, depending, is not optional but foundational. Colossians 2:6 reminds us, so as you've received Christ, so walk in Him. You received Jesus simply by believing and receiving His free gift, and now that we are God's children, we're to continue with that same attitude of childlike faith in Jesus as our life. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous live from faith to faith. And this verse reminds us that we started with faith, so continue by faith. And listen to Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been justified, and justified has the idea of being okay with God, we're justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So our heavenly access password to the riches of God's grace is faith. God wants the job done of living a life of love, but in a new way, by faith, as we look expectantly to Jesus to fill us with His kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control, and whatever else we need for our daily circumstances. Therefore, we're continually practicing drawing from God's grace in time of need. And this can be a long, painful process as we learn to trust God in the hard places of life. In order to rest in Jesus, we must be convinced of God's unchanging love and faithfulness to us as God's child. As I discussed, when we receive Jesus and are born again, God comes to live in us. In Exodus 33:14, God says, "My presence will be with you, and I will give you rest." This verse clearly states the source of our spiritual rest is that God lives in us and will never forsake us or leave us. We're fully accepted based on what Jesus has done on our behalf. We're forgiven, and by faith we can rest in His finished work. Romans 3:22 in the King James Version states, "The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them who believe." The King James Version picks up the idea that it's by the faith of Jesus, that is, by His faith, by His perfect life, by His death and resurrection, that we as Christians are okay. We rest in the fact that we are okay because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And since He now lives in us, we are to live our life by practicing appropriating His resurrection life. In spite of many failures in the struggles of life, we are fully accepted by the God family. And when we fail, we can rest in the forgiveness that is ours as a child of God. You know, although it's clear that as a Christian we have peace with God and we're secure as God's children, we can still struggle to experience consistent spiritual rest. Hebrews 3:16-17 talks about a rest of faith. It implies because of unbelief, Israel did not experience God's rest. And this relates to us, implying that as a Christian, we can fail to experience spiritual rest because of a lack of faith. Hebrews 4:10 tells us anyone who enters God's rest must rest from his own work. And this describes the difference between batting by ourselves to try to hit like Jesus instead of letting Jesus put his arms around us to swing the bat with us as we depend on God's power. We can be so eager to want to please God that we try to produce God's work and character in our own strength, and without hardly knowing it, we are trusting in ourselves and walking in unbelief. As Christians, sometimes we think, if we can just practice the Christian disciplines enough, I can somehow be like Jesus. And these disciplines can include many good things: reading the Bible, prayer, Bible memorization, retreats, seminars, Bible studies, doing good, church involvement. We can think, if I can master these things, then they're going to cause me somehow to grow more like Jesus. And trying to master these disciplines can be like the man in the circus trying to balance the spinning pie plates running back and forth to keep them all spinning so they won't fall. And this is like life up at home plate by yourself trying to hit like Jesus, an impossible task. God is interested in all of those good things, but wants us to be drawing off of His life and guidance to lead us so that those things will be a natural byproduct of a life of dependence on Him. God's goal is for us to be led along by the Holy Spirit into the good works which God has prepared beforehand. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Dr. Ekman translates the original text of Matthew 11:28-30 as follows. Jesus saying, "Come to me, every one of you who is continually worn down by religious labor and weighed down by religious obligations. I shall cause a refreshment for you. Come to me, take my yoke upon yourselves, and be discipled by me, because I'm meek and humble of heart, and you'll find refreshment for your souls, for your emotional life." Isaiah 30:15 states, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." Our natural tendency is to put the cart before the horse. We can pursue a life of spiritual activity and good works to produce spirituality instead of resting in God to work through us to produce true spirituality. The Galatian Christians fell into this wrong mindset about how to live the Christian life. In Galatians 3:1-5, Paul says, "You foolish Galatians," which really means "you stupid Galatians, you started out by simple faith, and now you're trying to go on to maturity by shifting back to self-effort." Galatians 5:1, Paul admonishes the Galatians not to go back to a law of self-effort for godliness, but to depend on the Holy Spirit to produce a supernatural life. Paul in Galatians 5:16 make sure the Galatians understand their freedom is not to be used to give in to sinful passions and desires, but to practice appropriating the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation. Listen to the Amplified translation of Galatians 5:16. "Walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh." In Philippians 3:9, Paul communicates the same message of Galatians as he shares he's not trying to produce his own godliness by self-effort in trying to obey the law, that is the Ten Commandments, but was depending on tapping into Jesus' holiness by faith. Paul was practicing living by grace, that is resting in the power of Jesus and drawing off of his life. In Galatians 2:20, Paul stated, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." Paul is again expressing the idea that he's practicing living by resting in Jesus' life. Our consistent spiritual rest in God can be interrupted by our improper response to trials, struggles, and perplexities of life. We can often find ourselves trying to make sense out of apparent nonsense. As I discussed last week, the trials and tribulations can easily tempt us to unbelief. The Israelites failed to enter God's rest because of unbelief. That is a lack of faith. They grumbled and complained against God and did not believe that God would help them. They wandered in the desert, not experiencing God's rest because they would not trust in God as their deliverer and provider. And we face a similar option every day as we face life's array of problems. The circumstances of this life can be overwhelming, and we must continually be reminded that God is on our side and wants to help us. Our natural inclination can be to rebel against the hard places we find ourselves in. And this is why the The Christian life is called a fight of faith as we practice submitting our will to God so they can give us their strength and power and wisdom and love or whatever else we need. Paul describes the process in 2 Corinthians 4, 7-9. It reads, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay," referring to God in us, "to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." The process of practicing resting in Jesus' life occurs in the midst of trouble. Once we understand that God wants to be swinging the bat with us as we practice a life of dependence in the midst of trouble, a lot of the scriptures make more sense. 2 Corinthians 3:6 states, "The Spirit gives life, but the law kills us." And this is what it's like going up to the plate by ourselves. The law, the Ten Commandments, shows what a lousy hitter we are. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And in 2 Corinthians 3, 4-6, it states, "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God, that we are not competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God." And this is describing the life of resting in Jesus' power as we swing the bat with Him. Self-effort displays our weakness and doesn't get the job done, but that's why Jesus lives in us. The God family doesn't want to just sit around on the bench watching us struggle at home plate by ourselves, but wants to be swinging the bat with us. So resting in Jesus' life is a long process of practicing, trusting, depending on God to work with us and through us. Next time, I'll discuss some of the additional difficulties of resting in Jesus' life. I hope you'll join me next time.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. That's bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.